Good evening.
Good evening.
Not too late.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, Baruch Hashem. Yes. Wonderful seeing everyone. Hello, Agnes.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. And Jeremy. And
Ali.
Zipporah, Telabina, Chesed.
Hello.
Yes, Eleanor.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Rivka and Eve.
Good evening. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. That's lovely. Okay, so we're going to be this Shabbat is Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. It's the second day of Rosh Chodesh. The first day will be Friday. Thursday night begins Rosh Chodesh Adar. Wonderful time. And so there'll be Friday and then Shabbat. And so on Shabbat, one reads the Haftorah for Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh together.
It's so funny.
So that's a special Haftorah, which is from the very end of the book of Isaiah. So so that is the beginning, the opening words of the discourse. And then it also considers the beginning of the Seder of the week. So we're going to have a look at both those passages.
Just a reminder, is it okay to dedicate the Shir to Menachem Mendel Ben Elisha?
Thank you very much for reminding me. Yes, this is the father of a friend of yours, is that right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Passed away, so it should be in his memory, Menachem Mendel Ben Elisha. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Right. Right. So, now here we have, it is in the it's the end of Isaiah, and it says, so the last few verses are Vehevi'u, and they will bring et kol acheichem, all your brothers, mikol hagoyim, from all the nations, mincha l'Hashem, as an offering to God, basusim uvarechev ubatzabim, with horses, with chariots, uva prodim, donkeys, uva kirkarot, and camels, al ha-kodshi, to my holy mountain, to Yerushalayim, omar Hashem, says God, ka'asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael, just as the Jewish people bring et ha-mincha, a flower offering, in a pure vessel, Beit Hashem, to the temple, so the nations will bring the Jewish people to the land of Israel, bringing them as an offering, as it were, to bring them back to Avim Hashem. And from them I will choose the Kohanim and the Levites. The new heavens, Va'aretz HaChadasha, and the new earth, which I'm making, Omdim lefanayin um Hashem, ya'amod zarachem b'shid. Your name will endure forever. And the Mashiach, the Jewish people are back there in the land of Israel, and there's the temple, and Israel, and having that temple in Jerusalem. Vahaya midei chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh, umidei Shabbat b'Shabbato, and every, or for every Shabbat, yavocho basa, all flesh shall come, says God, to bow down before me. So that means at the time of the temple ascent to Jerusalem, and at least monthly on Rosh Chodesh. That's the verse that the Maimer will be discussing, the beginning of Mishpatim. The Eilah, these are the rules, the laws that you should set before them. Mount Sinai. Last week we had the giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and then Moses is there on Mount Sinai, and God is teaching him, Jewish people, are the laws which you should teach them. And it begins off, ki sheshanim ya'avod, for 6 years he should work, uva shitzei lachofshi chinam, he should go free. So in other words, having a Hebrew slave is only a 7-year contract. And at the end of the 7 years, or the 6 years for the draft, then it has to go free. So that's the beginning. That enables us to begin looking at the discourse. And meanwhile, we will have the melody to accompany us. On Shabbat, Parshat Mishpatim, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, yeah, it was a leap year, unlike our year, in 1970. It's checked by the Rebbe, and it's published in the Dvar Malchut of this week. So this is the verse we just read. So it will be every month on the new moon, every Shabbat, Yavo chol basar lehishtachavot lefanai amar Hashem. All flesh will come to bow down before me, says Hashem. The fact that it says all flesh will come to bow, it's similar to something it says in the part of the week. It also talks, I should roll with you, it also talks about going up for the 3 foot. Shalosh pa'amim b'shana yera'eh kol tzuchucha. 3 times all your males should come to and to the temple. And in fact, they would often come with their whole 3-year special event, the 3 festivals coming to the temple. Abba Gemara, now it says in the Talmud, Kashem Shabalirot, just as a person comes to see what is happening in the hiring site, seeing the Kohanim, the offerings being offered on the altar, the Levites playing experience. Kach ba leraot, so too the person comes to be seen. By Gedei Hara'iya, and it's particularly by this seeing, the person comes to the temple that has a tremendous effect on the person, mishal, bow down to Hashem. So that's what it said, you see, on every Shabbat, before me, says God, to bow down. So there will be this bowing down. Now, what is bowing down? Two, bowing down expresses selflessness. But coming to the temple, and it's elastic, it's there, we feel the move. Omna, however, Kol Zeh Hayis was a time also. Avo Mishacharat Hikdash Belehraot. We are not able to go up to Jerusalem and see and be seen. Not able, Ulishtachabot Levanecho. We can't bow down before you in the temple. Is the time of the temple, and then came the exile, the destruction of the temple, and the exile. Val zenema, now the end of the, or the end of the Haftarah, sorry. It's the penultima. And about this it says, shela atid lavo, that in the future when the Messiah comes, bo kol basal ishtachavot, all flesh will come to bow down. Vo'od yotem ayakodem in than it was previously in the time of the first and second temple. It won't be only 3 times a year. It will be every month. Every Shabbat. As it says in the Midrash, Sof Yeshayah ala Pasuk, at the end of Isaiah is a collection of Midrash. And so at the end of Isaiah, on this verse, it says, Matai avov, when will I come and see the face of God? Amru Yisrael, the Jewish people said, Ribono shel olam, master of the universe, Ei matai ata machazir lanu, when will you return, give back to us? Et hakavod, the glory, shehayinu olim b'shloshet palim, pa'amei regalim, 3 times a year, v'roim et hashchina, and see, we would be the difference. Amar lahem akad, Banai, my children, Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, hayitim olim b'shana shalosh pa'amim. In this world, when the temple stood, you were coming to the temple three times a year. But the arcades, when the end comes, when Mashiach comes, and the Rebbe adds, shi'es cheifat kotlei agalut, that will be after the burning down of the walls of exile. Golus vent velen fabrent velen. The walls of exile will be burned. Shezeo keitz hagalut of the exile. V'tatchil ha'atchalta de geula. And then it will begin the beginning of redemption. According to this says, Yamod, he describes how the Melech, they'll arise a king. Mibay David from the house of David. In other words, descended from King David. A tradition, a concept, a Jewish concept that the Messiah is a descendant of King David. Occupied with carrying out mitzvah, Kedavid Aviv, and what will he do? V'yachof kol Yisrael, he will compel the whole Jewish people to go in the way of Torah, ulechazek bitka, and to strengthen any breaches of the Torah, battle of Hashem, and he will be successful, page Vav, uvana mikdash bimkomo, he will build the temple in its place, v'kibet nitche Yisrael, the scattered of Israel. That is the true ultimate geula, the redemption, the full redemption. We're now going back to the words of the Midrash. This was an then atem atidim liot olim sham b'chol chodesh v'chodesh. Come to Jerusalem every month, not just three times a year, every month. As it says in that verse, come every month. Sha'az tiyah, then will be the coming to the temple to be seen, uleishtachavot, and to bow down b'chol every 7 days, and on Rosh Chodesh, says there in the Midrash. V'hiksha b'yalkut, but then the Midrash asks the question, hayeich misof ha'olam, how will they be able to come from the ends of the world? In the olden days, it took months to travel from distance. Umavayanet explains, Sheha'avim bayim, the clouds will come, v'to'anim otom, and they will climb onto them, and they will be brought to Jerusalem. We'll have an airline called Cloud. In fact, El Al, the airline is, you know, to the heights. To the heights. V'hu sheha'navim mekalsan, and this is what the prophet prayed. Me, in another verse, Mi ela ka'av to ufena. Who are these who are floating v'chayonim al el arim to their davko? So in other words, Shabbat will not be a difficulty. We will have the technology available. In fact, it's available right now, that we will be able to come every week to Jerusalem, and certainly every month. Okay, all this is the sort of the introductory part of the discourse. Are there any? That okay?
Sorry, yeah. How can you fly on Shabbat?
It's flying before Shabbat. It's in order to get there for Shabbat. That when it comes Shabbat, you'll be in Jerusalem.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. When Nimtza comes out, Shebechlalut, that in general, Yesh Bazeh Shloshim Ad Hu Yomot HaChol. One epoch, one time is weekdays. She'enim Shabbat b'chodesh, they're not Shabbat, they're not Rosh Chodesh. Shebahem, that in them, gam le'atid lavo, even in the future, lo tiye havodah de'la'alot ve'le'ra'ot l'ishtachavot. There won't be the service of going to Jerusalem, being seen and bowing. So even in the future, there'll be a time that you're not in the temple. You're in London or wherever you live. Zman ha'sheni, in Cleveland. Zman HaSheni, the second epoch, Hu B'Shalosh Regalim, it's the three festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Shebehem Hayta Aliyah LeRegel V'Zman HaBayit. And on those festivals was the going to Jerusalem in the time of the temple. V'lo Rak V'Zman Bayit Rishon, not only in the time of the first temple. Eligam V'Zman Bayit Sheni, Shebehem, there's a whole explanation about that, we're going to miss that out. So, well, let's maybe do it. You see, there's a word where there's a verse where Hashem says, I will be glorified. Now, though we're a hey, in the actual biblical text, it's missing a hey. So it's written without a hey. Now, that heading, this refers to the second temple. So this is it's a verse, it's in Haggai. Haggai, the prophet Haggai, and the prophet Haggai is talking about the time of the second temple. And God says, I will be glorified in this second temple, but the letter hey is missing. With Shalohaya Meir Gilui Heila, the upper hey, like the upper hey of God's name, Yudke Vavke, the tetragrammaton, has got two names, two heys. So the upper hey didn't radiate, didn't shine. Rak hey tata, only the second hey, the lower hey. Vagam zehai behelim, and even this was concealed. So that means that the second temple compared with the first is a certain level of concealment. And from this we understand, Shama'alata ishtachava, the great quality, the quality of the bowing down, Shebabayit Sheni, in the second temple, lo hayta kamo ma'alata ishtachava Shebabayit Rishon, was not like the quality of the bowing down in the first temple. Shehamakom sheshem sham ba lirot, because the place where we were coming to see, that means the temple, shehu poel et ha'achdachava, and when we come to the temple, we're inspired, and because we're inspired, we bow down to God in an expression of sinfulness. But the in the first temple, the temple itself, Hayana ale yoter, was greater. It was something higher. So therefore, we've got the first temple and the second temple, but in both of them, we came there in order to bow down. So, and also we came there on each of the three festivals. So far we've got ordinary weekdays, even in the time of the Mashiach, the three festivals in the time of the first and second temple, Osman Shashlishi, and the third epoch, who Shakusha Yavoa Kates, when the end comes, the Mashiach. Sha'az Yeriya Vishtachava, then they'll be seeing and bowing down. B'chol Shabbat B'Rosh Chodesh, every Shabbat, every new moon. B'od Zod, and a further point, Sheklalut HaRiya VaYishtachava, that the general seeing and bowing, Gamba Shalosh Regalim, even in the third, in the three festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, Tiyeh B'ofen Na'ale Yoter, will be in a higher way, Gam Mekomo Shehaya B'Zman HaBayit, even compared with the way it was in the time of the temple, it's going to be something even greater in the time of Mashiach. Let's move to line 30. V'lo rak l'mayla mibayit sheni, it won't only be higher than the second temple, ele gam l'mayla mibayit rishon, and it'll even be higher than the first temple. V'haynu, that means on page 7, Hainu shel atid lavo, that in the future, year or ha'ole al kulana, there'll be a greater radiance than ever before. Damitit ha'perush v'zehu, and what this really means is, not lo rak sheye na'ale yoter, not only the radiance will be higher, elu sh'on ale zehu al kulana, that radiance will be on everything, it'll be greater than everything before, Sheba al yedei agilui v'avoda shehaya b'vayit rishon v'vayit sheni. Al kulana here means it is using the radiance of the service that there was in the first and second temple, and that will add together to the radiance that will be in the time of Mashiach coming to Jerusalem. All right, so far what we have is the whole idea of what it will be like in terms of coming to the temple in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and how that will be even higher than it was in the time of the first and the second temple, and dividing these sort of three times. One is the weekday, One is the actual festivals, and one is the idea of coming every Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh to Jerusalem, to the temple, in a very spiritual way, during the time when once Messiah has come. Okay, are there any points from anyone?
So just you mentioned earlier about being in London. So when Mashiach comes, you don't have to live in Israel if you prefer it in the UK.
Well, it's interesting. You know, there's a sense in which Israel will spread over all countries. It says in the future, the land of Jerusalem will spread over the whole of Israel, and the land of Israel will spread over all countries of the world. So everywhere will be a spiritual place. And, you know, if so presumably, and certainly this discourse is talking in terms of people living in different places and coming in every so often to Jerusalem.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So can't do without. you know, everyone has the place where they feel comfortable. Now, Ulahavinze. Now we're going to look at the Sedra of the week. To understand this, Yesh lahakdim tchila, let's first consider Mashanem about Chalat Parshat HaShavua, what it says at the beginning of the Sedra of the week. Ve'eila ha-mishpatim ha-shetasim lifneim. These are the laws which you should put before them. And what are the laws? The first one is, ki tikne eved ivri, when you buy a Hebrew slave. V'yadua ha-diyuk v'zeh b'drushei admor ha-zaken v'admor emtzayi, and other rabbeim as well. It's known, the question that is asked by several of the Chabad rabbis, beginning with the first rabbi, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, b'tzarich lahavin, we have to understand. These are the laws that you should put before them, the lifnehem, before them, mashma l'shon rabim, that implies in the plural. But the next words, v'chi tikneh, is in the singular, when thou buyest, when you as a singular individual, you buy a servant, a slave. Hu l'shon yachid, that's in the singular. It should have said when you will buy or they will buy. But the thing is as follows. When it says you will buy, you will acquire a slave, that's talking to Moses himself. That's why it's in the singular. It's talking to Moses, our teacher, peace be on him. And it's referring back because it said, when it said, these are the laws, asher tasim, which you should put before them, that is talking about Moses. Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, it's Moses himself, dafka yasim ha-mishpatim lifneim. He should be teaching all of them the laws. And that's also why it says you should put in the singular the Kayal Moshe, that it's talking about Moses. The whole concept of Moses is the idea of the Torah. So that is, Moses is the one putting the laws before the Jewish people. And it's also in this singular form. Now, what does it mean? And after that, it says, now we're still talking about Tasim Lifneim. After that, it says, you should put the Torah Lifneihem, before them, Lashon Rabim in the plural. Hainu, that means, Sha'al Yedei Moshe, through Moses, Haitam Shachat HaTorah L'chol Echad V'Echad Yisrael. The Torah was transmitted to every individual Jewish man and woman. So therefore, it's Moses himself as an individual. The spotlight is on Moses. He is the one who is getting the Torah from God. as a single individual, and he is transmitting that Torah to us. That's also what the sages said. That from the verse that you should put this Torah before them, the maidim we learn. We learn the way in which the teaching and learning of Torah should be in a very specific way. You have to put it to them in a way they can relate to. You have to give them reasons which are meaningful to them and which goes into their heart. Like a table which is set out and ready, ready to eat before the person. That's why Rabbi Joseph Kara, when he wrote the Code of Law, he called it the laid out table, the Shulchan Aruch. This idea that when you're teaching someone Torah, you should put it in such a way that it's easy for them to access. So in other words, this is a command to Moses. These are the judgments, the laws that you should put before them, and putting it in this way, you should put the commands before them, is saying you should transmit, you should use all your ingenuity to transmit the Torah to the Jewish people. Now, so there it's speaking to Moses. Him being told to transmit the Torah to us to the Jewish people of his time and the Jewish people of later times, in a very, very definite and meaningful way, so the Torah makes sense to us. Ach tzarich lahavim, but we have to understand. Halo parsha zu ba behemshech leparshat matan Torah. Surely this section of the Torah that we have as the Torah reading for this week, the Sedra, the Parsha, it comes after the account of Matan Torah at Mount Sinai. Shebanit parshu aseret hadibrot, there were the Ten Commandments. Shekolelim et kol tariyag hamitzvot, and the Ten Commandments include all the 613 mitzvot. Kamo shehevi Rashi b'shem azharot harab Sadia Gaon. As Rashi quotes, in the name of Rabbi Sadia Gaon, that somehow hinted at in the Ten Commandments are all the 613 mitzvot. Umadua sham lo nema asher tasim lifneim. So if we've got this important rule, this important law being given to Moses about transmitting the Torah, why isn't it in last week's Sedra? Eile dafka kan, but it appears here. B'shayachut ladin dechi tikne eved ivri, relating to the law of buying a Hebrew slave. Why? It's one specific law. Why wasn't it put in last week's Sedra, saying that Moses has the responsibility to teach every one of us Torah in a very meaningful way? Very interesting idea that if a person knows Torah, he or she has the duty to transmit it to others. And when they transmit it to others, it should be in a way that makes sense to the other person. We can all learn from that idea. That's something that relates to all of us. Umagam, then there's another point. So the first law we have, this is about buying a Hebrew slave. Now, of course, everyone is uncomfortable with this. What do you mean a slave? You know, slavery was abolished in the 1800s. It's a terrible thing. And if there is slavery now, the Bible has stopped the ban. Of course, why is it that the Torah has so many beautiful... This idea of acquiring or buying a slave, a Hebrew slave, in supportive situations preceded. Shahari Adin's whole idea of Nevato. Rashi explains that the Hebrew slave is someone who stole. He stole a substantial sum of money or objects which were expensive. He was caught, and now he has the money. No, nothing really belongs to him. He hasn't got a penny. And so the £1,000 from him, it's a terrible thing. What are we going to do? We'll sell you as a slave for 6 years, and the money of the person you stole from, And you will wait, at the end of 6 years, you'll be free. So im kein, if that's the sel achneva, the man stole, ula achle she'ein lo b'mel shalem, and he doesn't have any money to pay, have no other one to sell. And he's being sold as a slave in a society where people bought slaves. And before that, tzarech liot metziut ha-beit din, then you also have to have a beit din. It's got several rabbis, three rabbis, 23. What defines a rabbi? Balachat kama v'kama she'tzarech liot lifnei zeh. And of course, before that, you have to have the dibrot. You have to have the command not to steal in the Ten Commandments. So in other words, you got to steal. The fact that this person did steal. And then he was caught. And then there was a bet din. And the bet din decided that because he can't pay back, he has to be sold as a slave. So you've got all these different things. The immovans, understandable, not understandable. Ma'atam, what's the reason? Sha'in and Dashet Hasim Lifneim, getting law to the Jewish people in a meaningful way, which is impressed upon Moses, our teacher, Nama Dafka B'Shaychi Tikne Eved Ivri, is said in particular relation to this law of getting a Hebrew slave. But Gam Tzarech Lavin, we also have to understand, what does it mean before them? Umawin Yanki Tikne, and what does it mean when you buy? There's a number of questions over this verse. But now I'd like to ask you, we need to have this a little bit interactive. So I'm stopping sharing for a moment. Thinking about.
So you had a question actually, you know, with a slave who stole, they stolen. So for example, a slave stolen a year before Yovel. So he's not never going to have money. So can he be
able to buy him for £10,000? Because that's a problem. Whether he can be sold again, I don't know. Try and say someone who, even though it's only for 1 year, he needs it. I don't know what the situation is. If the money that comes in from selling the money he owes, it's a very good question, a very good practical question.
Just something, you know, in the beginning, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, relatively a small community compared to what we are now. So from around the world. How just squeeze them all into the Beis HaMikdash? When they want to get into your Yerushalayim, they get in the Beis HaMikdash from Timbuktu to China to Malaysia to Taiwan, from everywhere.
You just have to get there early. Maybe they'll give tickets. I remember people would come from all over the world. It was a lot of people.
Right.
Would come to the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the week of Sukkot, and the women and girls did it the last day. So you had to get there 4 o'clock in the morning and queue. First you had to go to the mikveh, then you would be in the, I can't remember the time exactly, 9 o'clock, lulav himself in his own sukkah, and then his lulav and etrog would be taken to 770, and everyone would, one by one would bench. You know, so some Mishnah speaks about the miracle of people fitting into the temple, even in the time of the standing up, they're back together, and it speaks in the discourse about bowing down, even though when they were standing up, they were packed together. And the situations, people were up all night in the temple, several days without sleep, picked up by the other people next to them, and they would form us, would all be somehow or other will manage. Also, the Mishnah said, problem of finding somewhere to stay in Jerusalem. You know, getting to Jerusalem, finding somewhere to stay for Pesach, Shavuot, and the building business will be pretty good.
Will they be as the second one?
Well, it'll be the measurements of the book of Ezekiel, Yechezkel. And that is bigger, I think. It's not the last phase of the second temple, which was a bit bigger than the early, huge, but it's a bit bigger. Somehow,
can I just ask about the slavery thing? So whenever in the Torah it mentions slavery, stolen something.
No, there are three kinds of slave. This kind of slave that we've just seen, who has been sold. Then there is a Jewish by her father because he's destitute, and really it's in person who buys her or his son. And if he doesn't, as soon as she reaches puberty, and so that's the second kind of slave. A non-Jewish slave is what's called a Canaanite slave, has to become partly, he has to go to the mikvah, non-kosher food, he has to basically keep keep the basically keeps the same laws that a woman keeps. And if he's...
Oh.
So there is a story about, I think, who had a slave, and there he was waiting for a minion in shul, and he had his slave be Jewish, and they were able to daven properly because they had a minion. Showed how much he...
Why the slave at the end of his time as a slave? Why?
Well, so
Mifrita Yovel?
The Canaanite slave isn't Frida Yovel.
That's the man.
By the way, Yovel means the Jubilee every 50
Jubilee,
years.
Jubilee, 50 years. And he has to become a slave to repay his debt. Does that apply to a woman?
No.
So how does she repay
her? I mean, there isn't that mechanism. You know, it would be the same as, if money. So it's just a debt that she has. And if somehow or other, it's paying her debt. But she's a woman is not sold as a slave for that reason.
Right.
So
is she, Rebbe,
yes.
Tally, Jeffrey, is she sold as a slave for some other reason?
No.
No.
A normal Jewish woman is not sold as a slave.
Thank you.
Well, that would be a girl, a little
a young girl.
And yeah. That little girl has to be set free. Ideally, she should marry either the man who bought her or ideally she should marry into that family. But if not, she's just.
At what age is she set free?
At 12. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Time of the temple when the and so you know.
Ali, is if you sell your child as a slave, what could a child be as a slave at such a young age? You know, like to me, it's cruel. I mean, how could you call that child a
table? She would do the washing up.
An 8-year-old child. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm sure Hani...
Under the age of 12.
Hani did some work for you.
And she got tired.
The age of 5.
Yeah, you're quite right. Yeah, Eve is absolutely right. There was a whole workforce of children. I'm trying to ban that. And it was very hard to ban. The government would make rules against it and continue to be a problem, as you see in Charles Dickens' writings. Yeah.
But the only thing I don't understand, so you have a family of children and then you buy it and the person's children, the same age, can lord it over her.
That's a very problematic thing, obviously. And I mean, talk about what happened in South Africa, you know, with having...
No, but we're not...
We'll ask
Mashiach when he comes.
The help of God, everyone will be free and everyone will be happy.
Amen.
Of course. On page Chet, which is line 20, Ubeya in of this, Yuvan will be understood. Bahaktim amavor besugya de matan Torah b'mesechet Shabbat will understand it by considering what it says in Tractate Shabbat about the giving of the Torah. Shahamalachim tanu, the angels claimed, why are you giving this special treasure of the Torah? Why are you giving it to human beings? Keep it in heaven. Given to the Jewish people, God, Lo Shabbashamayim, the Torah is not in heaven, the physical world, down here. And in fact, in a place, you see Moses in the story, in the Talmud, Moses argues with the angels. He said, look, what does it say in the Torah? It says about the Jewish people being in Egypt. You angels, were you ever in Egypt? No. Do you steal? No. So the laws in the Torah don't apply. So therefore, do you have an evil desire? No. So therefore, we have the comes down into a physical world, even into the atmosphere of a person who has got an evil desire and wants to do evil things. And he makes all kinds of false claims. And in the Talmud, it discusses those false claims. So the Torah gets right down into the physical world. Right. Incidentally, we're going to see, if we get long in the discourse, we're going to see this whole idea of slavery being reinterpreted completely. It means something completely different. It has with our relationship with the divine. So it's nothing to do with fear, you know, actual slaves and God. Now, the Indian is, that's on page 10, that the Torah went down right into this world. And that is a tremendous descent, but that descent is in order that it should arise again to a much higher level than it was before it went down. And this happens through the service of the souls of the Jewish people below. A tremendous ascent, even in the Torah. As it's known, when a person studies Torah, Torah Lishma, people talk about this, learning Torah for its own sake. And that means for the sake of the Torah, achieve an ascent in the Torah that it didn't have otherwise. The fact that we are learning the Torah in this dedicated way, simply for the Torah, has a tremendous spiritual effect. And that's because of the souls of the Jewish people, which came before everything. As it says, Im ha-melech bimlachto yashvu sham, souls dwelt together with the king of the universe. And the sages said, when God was creating the world, he from the souls of the tzaddikim. And in a recent discourse, that is the souls of the whole Jewish ones that God took counsel with. And so that means the souls are there, and they are on a very exalted level. They're rooted in the essence of the divine. And this essence is actually higher than when we come down into this world and we study Torah. We are elevating the world and we're elevating the Torah. Come down, empowerment to elevate the world around us and to elevate the Torah. On the effect of the ascent of the Torah is because of the special quality of the souls itself. Nonetheless, through the fact of the souls below, which are called slaves. That's not like the souls when they are above when they're together with God. They're called children. And that means it's when they come down into this reality of being a slave, a servant of God. We usually talk about a servant and slave don't have a clear distinction in Hebrew. In English, the word Eved means either. So the point is that we started off as children, exalted righteous souls beyond existence. But when we are born here in this world and we have an ego and we have all the different problems that there are for a person in the physical world, and then we are servants of God. And it's us as servants of God who have the power to elevate the world and elevate God. If we're on that higher spiritual level, very nice. We're in heaven. It's beautiful. Because of elevating the world and elevating the Torah. And it explains that the difference between them, Sheben hu bezeh ampin, when we consider the sfirot, there is a sfirot like chesed, kindness, severity, and so on. Those are called zeh ampin, the small face, those sfirot in the middle. And they are like where the souls are when there is soul, which is called
I think my, well, I think I could see my first.
Sorry?
I felt sticky, so I took off my underwear. I could see all the threads burst. Nothing, only what I don't. No.
Okay, Tipora, do you want yourself?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So through the service of a servant, that is the way we achieve this. Now, what's the difference between a servant and a son? The son or daughter is in the realm of these sfirot called Ze'er Ampin. That means the middle sfirot of the system of sfirot. And they're called a son relating to Abba and Imma, which is wisdom and understanding, which are higher than them. And whereas the Eved is the soul as it comes lower than the world. So it's in the world of Atzilut, and in those spheres, the soul is called a son or a daughter, but then soul comes down into the lower worlds, in the world of creation, formation, and action, where we have the soul on a lower level, and that's where there is the struggle of the soul, particularly in our world. We're faced with negative appetites and challenges, and we have to withhold it, and we have to stand up again. And through that, we are either quelling the negative, transforming it, which elevates the glory of God. So this is something phenomenal. But it is only when we are on that lower level that we have power to do this. Right? So we have the concept that the soul has an exalted quality, but only when the soul comes down into this world where it faces many challenges and where the servant of God, that's when we are able to elevate the world. So long that we are on a more intimate level with there's no evil desire and there's no temptation, we are then, according to this, we can explain why Sarah, it gives us that you should put, telling Moses, you should put the laws in front of the Jewish people. And it talks about when you buy a servant, because it's particularly through the level of that we're able to achieve the ascent, which comes through the Torah coming down into our world and dealing with the lowest things in the world, including at a time when they had the concept of slavery and what rules you apply, and that's it. So why does the Torah call this Eved? The word Ivri is the term for the Jewish people before the giving of the Torah. As it says, the God of the Hebrews. Yes, the Ivri is like the Hebrew. So the God of the Hebrews. And so this Edra is off, or Yehudi. Yes, it could have said Eved Yisraeli, an Israelite servant, or Eved a Jewish servant. So why does it call it an Eved Ivri, a Hebrew servant? Significance there. Now we're going to learn a new dimension to the word Hebrew and Ivri. It means it comes from the idea that our ancestors lived beyond the river. Ever means the other side of the river. Something which is higher than the Garden of Eden. Because it says that a river from Eden to give water to the garden. That's the Garden of Eden. And so that means the garden receives water from the river. And over the river, on the other side of the river, is higher than the river. We're talking like in spiritual terms. It's beyond the river. And so the other side of the river, that's where your ancestors lived. That's where the patriarch, beginning with Abraham, had this exalted level higher than the river, right? The river comes down into, we're talking in sort of vertical terms, and higher than the river is this realm. So the patriarchs come from this realm, beginning with Abraham, and he gave everything to his children after him, also the proselytes, because Abraham is father of everyone, as well as all the Jews, including the proselytes. And that is also the whole idea of the action of the fathers, the action of the ancestors is assigned to the children. As it's a tremendous ancestors, Abraham. And this treasure is also in a little one-day-old child, inherits everything as we have the laws of inheritance. And so the same thing for the Jew, being a Jew and having ancestors, until the person becomes, the child becomes like one thing together with his father, inheritance or treasure from his father. So it's something bonding him to his father. Why we're talking about the slave, the Eved Ivri, the Eved, this slave or the servant who's altered realm, but he's coming down into this low realm. And it's in this low realm that he's not a slave, he's a slave. And in order that through his being in this lower level, he's able to tremendous ascent of elevating everything. And so therefore, in order to do that, first of all, he has to be connected. And that's why it's called an Eved Ivri, because at the same time we're an Eved, we're here in the world, challenged by our evil desire and many other problems. But nonetheless, we remember that we are an Ivri, that we have action with the other side of the river, and we are unified with the divine. And this is true for every single Jewish man and woman. And even to someone who is on that level of an Eved, And what is an eved? It says about a slave likes doing nothing. A slave likes having nothing to do. And we, in the sense that we are slaves, we've got that potential as well. We like to be able to relax, forget about everything, and just do nothing. And also for that person to be drawn down for us, the source of beyond the river, that exalted source. And since that flow is from the root of the soul, which is higher than the tzimtzum, the contraction which gave existence to the world. So therefore, just as before the tzimtzum, there was no room for the worlds to exist, so it is with the slave below, that for the slave, that means for the Jew, the world does not take up any place for him. Now this, the root, let me try to explain it. The root of the Jew, according to this, is the point of tzimtzum. Now tzimtzum is the moment when there was a veiling of the divine in order to make room for the world. So before the tzimtzum, there was no room for the world. So if our root goes to before the tzimtzum, when we come back into this world, when we come now into this world, we've still got that flavor of before the tzimtzum. Now, what is the flavor before the tzimtzum? That there's no room for the world. Now, here we're talking about the world in its pejorative sense. The world says do this, the world says do that. And very often what the world is trying to pressurize the Jewish people into not behaving the way they're supposed to behave. I remember I once had some peripheral involvement in a film that was made for Channel 4 television. And a very interesting man who was doing a PhD in psychology, he was the producer of the film and this TV film. And he came to Lubavitch and he filmed this and that. He interviewed my wife and me. He interviewed quite four different couples, I think. And it was an interesting film. So one of the sequences in the film was there had been a Siyum Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah had been completed in St. John's Wood. So it was completed in the home of Conrad Morris, Oliver Shalom, who lived in St. John's Wood and davened in St. John's Wood Shul. And so then the Torah with, there was Rabbi Vogel, there was a whole group of people. They were then carrying the Torah with a band playing music, and the Torah was with a chuppah and people were dancing, and they were carrying it a few hundred yards from this person's home in Hamilton Terrace or somewhere, and taking it to St. John's Wood Shul. So David Cohen, the producer, charming man, he got his team of film, cameramen to film this. And you saw the looks on the faces of non-Jewish people living in this high-class London district, coming to their doors and looking out at what on earth is happening. And so David Cohen is giving the commentary to this. So there are these Jews just taking no notice and simply dancing with the Torah very fervently, and this music and this canopy being carried along, and they are holding the Torah under the canopy and dancing. So David Cohen says, the Torah is eternal. St. John's Wood is only temporary. It's like a very beautiful, So the point is that, it's the tremendous joy of the completion of a Torah scroll And then, of course, they came into the St. John's Wood Shul. All the Torah, the Sefer Torahs from St. John's Wood were brought out to greet the new Torah scroll. And then there was dancing inside, like on Simchat Torah, a very beautiful atmosphere. But that joy took precedence over the normal way of Jews looking over their shoulder. You know, what is he thinking of me? What is he? You know, oh, don't do that. You know, the neighbors, what would they think? You know, it was in the daytime. It wasn't in the middle of the night. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning might have been a different thing, but according to Torah. But it was a Sunday afternoon, and they're dancing along, and it's as if the world does not take any place. You know, so there's this comparison, very beautiful comparison here, about the way in which we are rooted before the Tzimtzum, when there was no world, and therefore we're able to live in a situation where the world might be very bold. And I think that that is a very deep quality that we have as Jews. And I think that's something very special. What do you think about that, Agnes, in terms of being in a very difficult situation, the ability of a person to transcend the world?
I find the whole discourse very difficult because we live in an age where we started from. There is discrimination all the way along. A slave who is not a Jew, what happens to that slave after he is a big one? Will that slave be? What we are reading here requires one to back in a way of living and in a philosophy.
Well, I think, you know, the issue to behave towards the slaves.
Yes.
You know, and there were certain situations, master hurt the non-Jewish slave. He would go free as they hit the non-Jewish slave, knocked out a tooth. That non-Jewish slave would go free.
Yes.
So he was protected in that period of slavery, and is presenting it not as a real slave.
Yes.
There's something that we are able to learn from that. It's this we're talking about an institution which no longer exists. And that institution in the Torah, level of meaning. And the level of meaning is ones who would and trying to serve the divine. And it's not a struggle very often. As a servant, you know, is told to do this and do that, work out the accounts now. Yes, a person working in a business, well, yeah, it's a restaurant. So people working in this kind of way. And here, the individual relates to the divine. That we have all kinds of qualities inside us, but nonetheless, we are able to do so because Ered Ivri, and the other side of the river is an exalted realm. And we have that within us, ability to transcend the here and now. Now, Agnes, read our Red Star, which tells about you as a child, as a young girl in the Holocaust. I think that you often did precisely that. You transcended in the environment. And whether the environment was the evil or whether it was the low behavior of Jews around you, that you offered that. And I think that that's a very powerful quality.
Thank you.
It reminds me of the Alter Rebbe, his son. There's a story about when they were in prison, said, you know, why are you not scared? Why are you just a calm? And the Rebbe said, well, I'm afraid of these people.
Rabbi Joseph Isaac, yes, thank you. Yes,
he's suggesting one time we might work, but the state of mind at that time is something that you and I might, because it is not relevant to, it's something that I am forever asked when I talk to people about my state of mind. And I should like to discuss this with you. I
wouldn't,
but I'm afraid I might.
Yes.
So if the slave is basically an image
right.
for a state of mind, we struggle against perhaps being a slave part of ourselves with all the things that we do as slaves for which we've inherited. But there are two problems, two that are left out. We're talking about.
Yes.
In all kinds of prayers.
Yes.
But the other thing, I mean, is Jerusalem. Whereas the Jerusalem that we keep we live every day and on holidays, and which were spiritual sort of slaveries and, you know what I mean?
It's very difficult.
We need to carry on the Mashal.
Yes. Let's see the way on page, let's see how he's explaining this. Coming back. This is what it means, the easing of a Hebrew slave, that the idea of acquiring Sikhne, that means the Jewish people. You see, it's as if the Jewish people are the slaves, the one who's giving them the laws of the Torah. And Moses has this, and at the giving of the Torah, to be elevated above, and there they will be given the Torah down into the world, and given was that second choice that was taken, that the Torah is given and those to measure Torah that we need. And it begins with this idea of a quad, be the servant of God, who is yet connected to our spiritual source above. And the Moses in the Torah, Moses of every generation, is the one who is trying to give up and aware of our source, our exalted source in every situation. And so, and in fact, since 3,000 years ago, there's a Moses inside every single Jew. The ability of the Moses every single Jew enables us to feed and to be dedicated to God. Now, and that's what the is on page 15, line 12, being dedicated to having this quality of bittul, of selflessness, and we're connected beyond, then we have this tremendous inner world. And that is something that we were able to temple. And also in the time of exile, even nevertheless, we are able to have to face that challenge. And nonetheless, our soul is connected to its source beyond. We are able to elevate to the way in which, in the time of exile, in the time of the temple, the first temple, the second temple, but in the time of redemption, the time of the Messiah, something that we've achieved during our time of exile now, the connection with Jerusalem and the temple, and that special connection. So yeah, it'll be able to be every week. It will be able to be every Shabbat, new moon, because all, and this is really something that we are able to with the divine, which is able to be expressed in our life, in Eve, about the spiritual Jerusalem. We say the Amida prayer, so there is the point at the beginning of the prayer, down those points where the Hasidic teachings emphasize, in which we are connected together with the divine, in Jerusalem, of us being an Eved Ivri, a Hebrew servant. And it's the Moses inside that, my God, these are the laws you should put before them, that Moses and bond with the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.